Okay, and we're recording. I'm Lindsay Naylor. I am a graduate student in the College of Design at NC State, and we're here in Jamestown in the home of David Tilson. Sitting here with David Tilson and with his daughter Lisa Bailey, also with Gwen Thayer, who is Associate Head and Curator of Special Collections at NCSU Libraries. And so we're here to talk with David about his own career and about his father, R.D. Tilson, who was a landscape architect in High Point. And so I think I'll just jump right into the questions, if that's okay. So I would love to start just by hearing you talk a little bit about your father's background, anything that you know about why he decided to study landscape architecture and become a landscape architect, anything about his background.
Well, he studied landscape architecture at Massachusetts Agricultural College, mm-hmm. which turned into University of Massachusetts, I understand. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what a landscape architect was at that time. We're talking about when? 1920, mm-hmm. thereabouts.
Yeah.
So when he found out, heard about it through the college, then he decided he might like to try that. And it later became very important to him, and he graduated as a landscape architect, mm-hmm. I assume. Mm-hmm. And then he was, of course, faced with the question of how do you make a living as a landscape architect? And that is basically the question for the next 50 or 60 years. So there was a nursery in Florida who thought they would like to have a landscape architect, and somehow or another, I don't know how, he heard about them or they had applied. There weren't many places you could be educated as a landscape architect, I don't think, at that time. And so he took a job with this nursery, and I believe it's in this.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Reasoner Brothers.
Yeah.
And moved to Florida. And I don't know what he did at Reasoner Brothers, but presumably he developed plans and so forth to sell their nursery products.
Yeah.
And my mother was a resident of Bradenton, Florida. Mm-hmm. And this company was not far from Bradenton. Mm-hmm. And he met her at church, and they got along reasonably well. So they did marry in Florida.
Yeah. And it looks like after after he worked in Florida, he, after moving to High Point, that he worked with the Civilian Conservation Corps for a little while. It looked like he worked on some really interesting projects, some national parks, and some things like that.
Yeah, the time he came to High Point in about 28, I think. Uh-huh. I was born in 29. He came, and you know, things were tough in 29 and 28 and 30 and 31 for everybody, and those who could afford a landscape architect's personal services, mm-hmm. were few and far between. Mm-hmm. So eventually in the 1930-something, he took a job with the National Park Service. Mm-hmm. And in that job, he did do quite a little work with the CCC.
Yeah.
Bunch.
Did he ever talk about his time with the CCC and the National Park Service? And did you ever get a chance to see any of the parks that he worked on at that time?
Yeah. This is what, 36, and I'm 6 or 7. So he didn't bother with too much opinion, but he took me on one of his field trips in his 36 Ford government green vehicle up Mount Mitchell of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And the CCC camp was building the road and had a camp on Mount Mitchell. So what I remember about it mainly is you only could go up in the morning and down at night or something like that as far as the road. Mm-hmm. Because it was so narrow and switchbacks and all that good stuff. It was so narrow that even the 36 Ford couldn't make a turn without backing. So yeah. They weren't done. But he did quite a few drawings for the Park Service. Mm-hmm. and also did inspection and coordination with the CCC camp operators. And they gave me a ride in a dump truck one time.
And so why did your father decide to open his own firm? At what point did he decide to make that move?
You know, I don't know why he decided exactly. There was a real estate developer that he knew in High Point who I think probably influenced his idea to come to High Point. Mm-hmm. Versus, I think he always wanted to be an independent. He didn't want to work for a nursery. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have minded having a nursery, but he didn't mm-hmm. have the funds to have one. But I think he had an opportunity here in High Point.
Yeah. It looks like, going through the drawings that I've seen so far, it looked like the firm had a pretty diverse clientele base. It looked like it worked for a lot of different types of clients. Could you talk a little bit about the work that your father did for residential clients and who the people were in High Point who were commissioning those projects?
Well, the people in High Point who could afford mm-hmm. nice large houses, quite a few of them did let him do planting mm-hmm. plans. That's mm-hmm. what we were basically thinking about then.
Yeah.
Locating a house on a lot mm-hmm. where it would work out the best.
Yeah.
And following through on that kind of thing. Now the businesses in High Point were two major businesses. One was hosiery, and the other was furniture manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some fairly well-off folks in both of those.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't know it in 1930 or mm-hmm. But you will find some of those planting plans, so they're usually on a very thin yellow
mm-hmm.
tracing with India ink yeah. out of a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done partly because he needed to be able to make a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't take that thing and wander over a lot with it
yeah.
without losing it.
Yeah.
And but he had a great knowledge even then of the plant material that would grow and it was available and had looked in 5 years. And,
yeah.
Why it was worth saving a tree or not, or
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he did the subdivision that is most well known, I guess, in High Point, called Emily Wood. He helped Clark design it, I believe. And then there was an Emory Wood West, and then there was another piece. And we did a lot of subdivisions in High Point. Yeah.
Do you know how the firm came to work on more public projects and larger projects and projects for churches and different clients beyond the residential work?
No, I think it was always, you know, a churchyard was available sometimes. Ours, I guess, First Presbyterian was, he did for years. he did a little tree work every now and then. I remember he told me, we had a major oak tree in the front of the First Presbyterian Church in High Point that was damaged some, and he climbed it up and put a few things across the branches and so on, and managed to save it for quite a few years. At that time he planted six or eight more so that they would grow and take over when that one died, and he did find them. And there was any planted now or yay big. I used to, me and some of my friends at church would use those trees to swing around and play tag and stuff, and he didn't think that was a good idea. So he put some of the cables, you know, in a stage and so on. So. But he was doing pretty well in High Point, I think. Managed to feed me anyway, and my sister. So.
Yeah. What was your, you know, from reading the newspaper articles, it sounds like your father was a very prominent citizen of High Point and contributed a lot during his career. What was your perception of that growing up or during the time that you were working with him?
Yeah, I would go along with that statement. I mean, he was a member of the community and pretty well known by most people in the community at that time. You saw, I think, somewhere that he eventually was a part of the Planning and Zoning Commission and chaired it for a number of years. You know, he didn't run for mayor or anything like that. He was not thinking in that direction. But he knew most of the people in High Point that made the town go at that time.
And what was your own role in the business? And how did that, what was your own role in the firm? And how did that change over the years?
Well, you're going to have to get into a little history. I got out of state finally in 1950 as a graduate engineer. Went to a company called DuPont, which you may have heard of, because they were the ones that would, it was sort of a tough year in 50 getting jobs. So I was pleased to have an offer from a major corporation. So I went to Nashville, Old Hickory, since that was where they wanted me to go. So I did. And the plant in Nashville made, the plant that I worked for made rayon fiber, which is really a fiber ahead of nylon, but it was a fiber made out of paper. All you had to do is dissolve the paper in something, squirt it out through an oil and some acid, and then wash all the acid off. You could wind it up and make things. Cloth.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting plan, and I enjoyed it very much. But the problem was that in order to stay in state, I had and not get drafted, mm-hmm. you got to realize where we were in the World War II. Mm-hmm. I had taken advanced ROTC. Mm-hmm. So I graduated as a second lieutenant in the Air Force, as well as a state college graduate. And the Air Force had made a deal with me that if I got the commission and so forth and graduated, then I would serve 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I stayed in Noble Hickory, I can't remember it, but maybe in a minute. Anyway, a short time and the government suggested that I come to Alabama and sign up. And I took their suggestion.
So you were in Alabama for 2 years?
Oh, no. No, the unfortunate thing did happen. During the time that I was taking senior ROTC, the Air Force separated from the Army. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I wanted to be a cadet for the Air Force rather than the infantry. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a tough decision for me at all. And so I was then inducted into the Air Force active duty. In, I think it was Montgomery, Alabama, who then immediately sent me to Texas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I got out of there. But I've had to go to communications, radar school in Biloxi, Mississippi. At the base, what was the name of the base? Keesler Field. It's still there. You can find it. So I did. Somewhere along the line, I remembered Ann, who was back in Old Hickory. And so we did manage to put it all together, and we were married that first year, I think. Mm-hmm. What is it, Lisa? 52, 51?
And how did you end up going back to High Point? When did you and Ann decide to?
Well, I had a choice when I got out of the service. I could have gone back to DePaul, mm-hmm. or I could have come back to this area and work with Dad. Mm-hmm. And I had a question which way to go. Mm-hmm. And the problem was, how do you make enough money in the landscape architecture field to mm-hmm. provide substance for both of our families? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we did was set up a corporation, which is the one we've just been talking about, mm-hmm. so that we could have the advantage of corporate bookkeeping and corporate taxing and corporate responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so I came back and we did that. Mm-hmm. And I worked in Winston-Salem for a while. We had some very good contacts in Winston-Salem with I call it Lasher and James Brown and Pollock, and I believe you mentioned that y'all have some of that too, and it was before that was...
We have William Roy Wallace.
Wallace?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Northrop and O'Brien.
Northrop and O'Brien, that's who it was. And it changed into the name of the four guys that it went to eventually. And they did a lot of work in Winston-Salem. We did a lot of their site development, SITE development, which we morphed into, which got us doing enough sizable jobs to make a living. If you're just doing a plant and praying for somebody, you're going to have to do a lot of them. And you might be better off to be a nursery. To sell the plants, rather you could then sell the designs, because what can you get for it?
When you look back on the residential work that you all did do and the planting plans, were there certain, do you remember some of the more prominent families in High Point that you all worked for?
Well, there was a Millis family, there was a Slain family, there was a there were a number of them. You know, I'd have to do some thinking on that before I can pull it out. But most of the families that could afford our services, we were the only ones who were here. If they could afford it and wanted it, we would work for them.
Do you remember if there were certain features that they particularly liked to see for the residential plans, and whether that changed at all over the years of the firm?
I don't think of it that way. Usually it was a matter of when did we get there? Was the house already there? Or were they picking out a lot? And if you wanted this lot or that lot, which one would go best with the kind of house that you were thinking about, that kind of stuff. Then eventually we would do a topographic map of the lot. And the maps had to be very good, because we were going to work them for grading driveways, whatever, and deciding floor level. And we needed to know every tree on that lot that was worth keeping. So the maps that we made, and I made a lot of time, I'm a registered surveyor as well as a registered engineer. And but most surveyors are working at the contours only, as far as topographic surveyors. Now, you know, there's boundary lines and so on. And but we wanted to know what the trees were. Even the 4-inch maple, which is going to be a nice tree, if you separate it a little from the woods, maybe. And we need to know where the creeks were, and we need to know where.
Do you remember, this is Gwen, do you remember the process by which your father worked with these families to come to decisions about how their landscapes would look? I mean, do they want a garden? Do they want, you know, do you know, did he have long discussions with them, or how did they kind of come to their decisions about what they wanted? And I know you may not have been involved with that, but what do you recall?
I think that they had, they met together quite a lot. And it, in his early days, the office was in a space that he built over the garage when he built a house on Hillcrest Drive, which you don't know, but nevertheless, it's where he was and where his business was for a while. When I got there, then we needed more room, and we got a small office front type place. Office front, is that right? And it was not far away, but it was up at Main Street from Hillcrest, and we did have enough room to have a table and talk to people, so they could come to us there. They also came to the house quite a few times when he, his office was upstairs over the garage. And, you know, I think it wasn't the kind of thing that we were dictating things, because he knew more about it than they did. So he was basically saying, here's what I think you would like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they wanted a flower garden, fine, then they might do their own thing if they wanted to. But it would fit in with, he was looking at the whole lot, you know, the whole piece of property. Mm-hmm. And saving what could. Mm-hmm. This was pretty hilly country sometimes. We had to get a driveway in there. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He didn't do straight lines much.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a sense of how the nature of the firm's clients and projects changed over the years that you worked there and that you saw your father working? And whether that changed because the firm became more prominent or because of things that were shifting in High Point, can you kind of reflect on how the nature of the work itself might have changed over the years that your father was working?
Well, I think it changed, but it basically had to change to get big enough to support us all. And we had a couple of landscape architects at different times, too. Mm-hmm. And he had some pretty good contacts at Myrtle Beach. Mm-hmm. We did two or three subdivisions down there. And one of them was sort of unique in that there were no houses, no lots on the water. And do you know Myrtle Beach at all? Well, basically, there's a highway behind it called Lloyd 17, I believe. There's, and there's a space between the highway and the water, usually, which is half a mile, maybe, or nearly. And the problem with beach property was you could sell the front row on the water. You could sell the next row, pretty much. But there was a whole lot of land back here. And so what they were trying to do, and did successfully on several, was to build a subdivision with fairly nice-sized lots, none of which faced the water, none of which were even that close to the water. And we're looking for full-time, retired, perhaps, people who like water and like the boat and like this, that, and the other, but didn't have to run out the front door and stand on the beach every day because they're going to be there all year, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that, we did several there. And your question is, did it change? It did change. Mm-hmm. We got into bigger total projects. Mm-hmm. And we were able to convince owners like school boards and other public things that it might well be a better deal to have a architect do the building and the landscape architect engineer firm who was knocking on their door do the site. Mm-hmm. And that way we got enough money in the contracts that we were able to put together and take bids on to make fees big enough to be worthwhile.
Okay. And how much do you think your father's ability to convince people to invest in a landscape architecture and engineering firm to actually do the site, how much of that do you think came from his position as sort of a prominent person in the High Point community, or even his involvement with the Southeast chapter of the ASLA? Kind of how much was his prominence in these professional networks? Did that sort of help in terms of developing business for the firm in that way?
Well, yes, it did help. And, you know, a town no bigger than High Point is not going to support architect, engineer type people alone sometimes. Although the town did grow. I mean, he came in 29, and, you know, it wasn't anything that big. But the services that we could provide as for separate contracts from the building itself meant that we had contractors that were different, like road builder types and earth moving types and paving types and those things, which gave us the ability to have sizable projects. Athletic fields, particularly for school, high school, we did 2 or 3.5 point. So, I don't know where we got to work. Sometimes we had to look hard for it. And sometimes once we had worked for a school board, for instance, or a school superintendent, they would come back for the next one.
Yeah. Did you ever have conversations with your father where he reflected on his career? Did he ever, do you have a sense of which of the projects that he worked on over the years that he maybe was particularly attached to or hoped would be well cared for and remembered?
He thought they were all pretty good by the time he got through with them. the planting plans and so on were something that he enjoyed doing because he knew so much about the material that was available. And unfortunately, if you suddenly decide you want 10 nandinas in your front yard, you got to find somebody who's got 10 nandinas. So he had to keep up with what might be available within 40, 50 miles of here in the nurseries. And I think he enjoyed working with the plants and the guys that planned them. And they weren't a big deal, you know. They're not buying big stuff and paving the road all the way from here to Winston or something. And a lot of them were, there was some friction between the nursery who would design it for free to sell the bushes. They might sell more bushes than one of us would pick, but we were charging for basically telling you where to put the bush. You still had to buy the bush. I guess that's not a good word, the plant.
But there was something that meant, you know, there were so many residential planting plans. There was something about the firm and about your father that had people in High Point.
That was early work. Yeah. Now, I don't know what we still got left out there, but some. But you're right, yeah. And I wasn't here most of that time. Yeah. I wasn't in the firm anyway. Yeah.
Are there, do you ever pass through projects that your father worked on in the High Point area still? And are there any ones that you particularly like to see around the area? And do you have kind of a sense generally of the long-term impact? He worked on so many projects in the area. Do you ever think about sort of the impact that he had on how this area looks?
I think it was major. But, you know, I drive by the City Lake Park every day to get to High Point, and he was, you're talking about a WPA or project back in the hard times. But he designed it, and there was a guy named McIntosh, I don't know whether you've run into him, from Massachusetts also. who was instrumental in helping CCC and whatever kind of people you could find to build it, a park around the city water reservoir, really. Had a swimming pool of major proportions for the area.
Mm-hmm. To what extent, I would say, just adding to what Lindsay asked, this is Gwen, is there sort of community acknowledgement or recognition or awareness of your father's work in this area?
I don't think there's a great deal now.
Not a lot of knowledge? Okay.
But, you know, we're 40 years from him doing anything, and I didn't do too much after that. I finished up some things, but I didn't have the skill to do a planting plot. Yeah.
I guess the question is then, how much remains?
Mm-hmm. How much
remains of his, you know, of what he created?
Yeah, well, you just have to.
That's a good question. Yeah, let's see.
Quite a lot of it remains. When you did a subdivision, you know, you did a subdivision. This subdivision out here was done by John Townsend, who was brought to High Point by us, by my father.
Mm-hmm. I recognize that name, I think, from some of the
friends. Yeah. He went on his own, moved to Jamestown. And this is a fairly large subdivision. But it's here. I mean, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, what gets built in it, you don't always know.
We have, so now that the R.D. Tilson landscape architecture papers are a permanent fixture in the landscape architecture archive at NC State, that means that future students and researchers will have access to it for a very long time. For those people who are just discovering the work of your father, is there anything in particular that you would like them to know about the nature of his work over the years and about the impact that the work had? Why is it, to you, why is it sort of an important thing to look at?
Well, he was one of these types that did the work himself. Mm-hmm. He was happy when he had work to do. The only time we weren't happy was when we didn't have work to do, or somebody decided, city council, to not do something. And I think, you know, if we started trying to go around the area, we'd have to go further than High Point. We did Greensboro a lot, we did Winston-Salem, we did Salisbury, we did Myrtle Beach, we did, I mean, you've got the index cards, I can't remember anymore, but I remember when somebody tells me which one it is, I probably remember what it, but the business of subdividing property and selling lots was good at times, but it's also one of those that can not be good for a period because people aren't building houses. And before he, one of the things that landscape architecture did is it stopped people from designing T-square and triangle lots, just putting all of them that you could on a piece of property, having nothing to do with the terrain or the fact that there's a street and a creek happens to be in the same place, and, you know, what are the trees doing and what is the topography doing? And there's one thing that, if you look at this subdivision, the streets are in the valley. Mm-hmm. My house is up on a hill. If you were farming out here and had to get your stuff to market, you know, all kinds of snow and weather, you built your road on the ridge. And if you look at the road that you came in off of, it's an old road. And it's on the ridge all the way from Jamestown to Greensboro. And so most lots are better if the house is above the road. Mm-hmm.
Your father had a very active role in the Southeastern chapter of the ASLA and seemed to be very involved in advancing the profession and advocating for it. Did you ever talk to him, or did you ever get a sense of what he viewed as what his impact might be on the field of landscape architecture?
No, I didn't as much as maybe I could have or should have, but he went to quite a few meetings and that kind of stuff. He was the expert, and I was trying to keep the business afloat and pay his salary. Sometimes I'd say, you coming back and working today, or y'all headed out to ASLA? But I did not get involved with ASA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't feel qualified, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he was a big influence, and one of the major things he did was get landscape architecture considered a licensable registration thing, like registered engineers and registered architects. Mm-hmm. And early on, that was not so.
Yeah. Yeah. How does your family feel about the transfer of the materials to NC State? Yeah, and the fact that it'll you know be there forever for access by students and researchers.
Well, I think we're fine. We like it. Yeah, I mean, I told the lady at High Point Museum, you know, they were sort of overwhelmed, I think, with how much stuff there was.
Yeah.
So were we. You know, wasn't anything we could do about it since I had not continued that business, basically. And so a lot of it is some beautiful work as far as the actual technique of making the drawings and so on. Yeah. You can then go look and see if the project ever worked out. I can show you one to see Lake Park out here.
Yeah.
Still there. And you were talking 30s.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that we didn't cover and looking back on your father's work over the years?
I don't know. He did a lot of parks and so on, and we haven't touched that much. Lisa's husband is a park director in Clayton. I don't know.
See, I think of Morrow Mountain.
Okay, yes, Morrow Mountain is something he did. Several like, things that he did, of course, were done while I was gone, either in school or in the service. We had the Alamance County Park, and we had some Burlington stuff. We did a country club. We did a nice country club and golf course. He liked to try to get people to let him do golf courses. But the golf course people tended to want to get the golfer to do them who didn't know what he was doing. But anyway, there was one, what I call a farmer's golf course over in Thomasville, and we sort of, it had a couple of ponds and some tabletop type greens and so on. And so we took that property and made a very nice subdivision out of it and redid the golf course. And eventually did a swimming pool there. We did a swimming pool every now and then as engineers rather than landscape architects. And that turned into one of Thomasville's nicest areas, which is Thomasville is a big furniture town next door to us here.
To what extent do you think kind of the rise and fall of the furniture industry here, I don't know if you'd say fall, but decline maybe, affected? Okay. I don't want to be too, negative, but realistically, to what extent did that affect your father's business? I mean, he was gone, obviously, by the time it really declined. But how did that affect things for him in terms of, I guess, the amount of money that was really in the area?
Well, most of what you're talking about, I think, happened after
he died, right, of course.
After he died. One of the things that did happen was we started building boats. The Sling Bunch started a fiberglass boat business in High Point, which everybody said, where are you going to put this boat? And they basically said, hey, we got all the people that know how to do all this stuff, and they're not employed, so let's build a boat and let them work in the boat, and we'll haul it down to Moorhead. Hmm. And they did.
What year was that, generally?
That's the Hatteras Yacht Company. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what year it was. The Slayton name had been a hosiery plant name. And there was an Adams Millis hosiery business, which was a major hosiery business in High Point. And of course in Greensboro there were some major, which gets me to Cone Hospital, and we did the grounds of Cone Hospital. It's big now. Mm-hmm. And parking and that kind of thing. The building at that time was already there. We were improving, I guess is the right word, we think.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm about to handle you.
Do you have any more questions, Gwen? All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, for answering these questions, and for your donation.
We do appreciate the fact that some of it's going to remain for a long time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This is Lindsay Naylor closing out the interview with David Tilson.